Welcome back, friends. We're here with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. He's got some insights on the intense drama that's happening in the world today from an informed but spiritual perspective. And we've got 10 times as much to talk about as we have time for, so we'll get right into it. Welcome, Dr. Cousins. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Richard. It's a joy, obviously, to be here and be working with you and with Doug behind the scenes. So we're going to start with a little bit of a dance. We kind of had a longer discussion about what to do because life is real complicated. So we're going to go into about a minute or so of dancing and invite you to dance with me because we need spiritual joy at this time to guide us and so we don't make our decisions out of desperation but out of clarity and joy in our hearts. Okay, let me take a moment of silence for everyone. Here we go. Okay, welcome everybody. I welcome you all with love. And we're going to talk a little bit about a major player in the world today called the United Nations. Now, I actually worked in conjunction with the United Nations when we were doing, or still are doing, the Peace 21 meditations each equinox and solstice. And then you are invited to do the next one, which is December 21st. But given that, I spent time at the UN. We used to once a year do a Peace 21 meditation in their meditation room. And this is in the 90s. And over time, there seemed to be a change in the energy. And initially, we were allowed in the meditation room for several years. We were working closely with the staff at the UN. In fact, the staff was who I was doing the meditations for. So we literally had UN staff participating in the UN meditation room for Peace 21, which is a perfect, you would think, a perfect UN thing. But then by the mid-90s, there's kind of like suddenly we weren't allowed in the meditation room. So we meditated in the hallway. And then they didn't really want us meditating in the hallway. It was a big hallway, but, you know, maybe 30 people, 40 people meditating. And pretty soon they said, no, you really can't meditate here. So this is a period over 3-4 years. So there's a transition happening. It was like very noticeable. Being very open initially, and then moving away from that. Now, if we track the UN and how it began with very good ideals at certainly level, but it kind of comes out of what some people will call dark occult. What am I talking about? Annie Besant, Madame Blavatsky. You know, early 1900s, they were having an effect. They were somewhat, but not directly, or somewhat directly related to Aleister Crowley. And these are some of the roots. And initially, the name was much more occult, and it slowly kind of morphed into the Lucius Trust, light. Was what the idea was, Lucius Trust. And as a kind of founding energy, but the founding energy goes back to Madame Blavatsky and kind of those dark occult. So that's the real beginning, and you can look that up. That's not a rumor, that's fact. Okay, and Annie Besant as well. So it had very occult beginnings. So now, as I traced it, I actually experienced literally a shift in the 90s from being somewhat a place of light. We're doing peace meditations. What else do you do at the UN, theoretically? To suddenly not even be able to be in the meditation hall, even though it was with their staff who were promoting it. It wasn't like I was an outsider, but everybody else was UN staff. To not being allowed to even have a meditation at the UN. Now, that's a pretty big transition. No meditation versus peace meditations on each equinox. So obviously there was a transition in the 90s, at least from our end of it. But I also think that there was a transition in the UN itself, because it starts with really good ideals and kind of very high kind of aspirations, and then, as we're seeing, it's a movement away from that, and now we can look at it and say, well, my goodness, what has it become? And I'm going to invite Richard in. We were just talking about the different things. If you want to share some of your perceptions of the changes that have happened, where it's producing, you know, child education, sexual education,
Yeah, this is a big and important topic, Gabriel. And I have my doubts whether it ever had any high ideals, as you said. I think the people that were brought into it, that were doing good projects, had high ideals.
Look, the beginning people did have high ideals.
The ones that were brought in were really good people.
Okay,
right. But I don't think those are the people that started the UN.
Well, the level I did, we were at the beginning. We were kind of a early.
They were there in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, what it's accomplished is so much destruction. It's hard to even imagine. I mean, it's behind hundreds and or thousands of organizations that are doing horrible things. We can list what they're behind at this
point. The word is NGO, right?
We're talking about
governmental organizations.
NGOs, banking organizations, world food organizations, world government organizations in different forms. And they're infiltrating and influencing governments all over the world to work against national sovereignty as one of their main things. But they're also working against sanity, and they're also working against human.
Wait, let me interrupt. When you say national sovereignty, you're saying working towards a one world government? I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I want to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, the idea, you know, it's an example of deception through language, because United Nations sounds wonderful. It sounds like everybody cooperating for world peace and wonderful things and freedom and prosperity and the things that they talk about in their agendas. You know, there was a famous meeting in 1992 in South America where they came up with something called Agenda 21. And this was a UN project, and it's not a theory. It's written in books called Agenda 21. There's even a children's version of Agenda 21 as a book. And basically it gives up freedom and brings in world socialism. And that's what it's behind. And even now, people who should know better are falling for the socialist agenda, thinking that it's just everybody helping everybody else and cooperating and society doing its part, as if society was a person. And people are saying society has a responsibility to take care of everybody. And when you do that instead of having it on a voluntary individual basis, the results are the opposite. But there are so many things the UN is working for now, one of which is based on this myth and what Donald Trump has called a hoax, and he's right about it. He doesn't say enough about it. It's the idea of climate change. You know something about that, I think.
Yeah, the fact is that the UN is pushing what I believe they know, and I think it's being disproven, as people in the Midwest are probably experiencing right now, that we are in global cooling, and we will be until 2033.
Right.
So the global cooling is happening. The planet has gotten colder, not a lot, like 1 degree centigrade by 2010.
There's one of the important elements is that there's actually no correlation between CO2 content in the atmosphere and global temperature.
Well, I'm just going to play a little bit because I've studied it. And there is a less than 1.001% correlation. Okay? Less than 1%, like a hundredth of 1%. All the rest is related to natural forces, sun rotation around the Earth, Earth rotation around the sun in terms of getting closer and getting further away, wind, cloud formations, very, very little to do with carbon. Well,
right.
1/100 of 1%.
When you look at a long-term graph of temperature versus CO2 content, there are waves all over the place of both, and they don't relate.
They don't relate to global warming, for sure. It's a hoax. And they know that, because at this point, a lot of people know that.
Right. And so, we're supposed to think that calling it a hoax is a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and the other thing is that hoax allows them to, you know, create situations where you can do lockdowns and confine people in their homes and have kind of a global control. It's a mechanism for global control.
Right,
and which they're pushing hard. Their researchers, I don't know where they're getting their data from or how they're interpreting, but it's not generally the way it's interpreted anymore.
Right. One of their latest moves is to save the world from climate change, we have to shut down farming.
Right. And of course, one of their latest moves, taking it further, is to create world starvation. And you mentioned something about meat. Maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah, please do.
No, not me, you, because I don't know much about meat. It's not my specialty.
You cut out for a minute on my side.
I don't know much about meat, okay? So maybe you could explain a little bit.
About meat is... did you say?
Yeah, they want to cut out meat. What would be
They want to ban cows and other animals, and they say they're destroying the environment. And they overlook the idea that there were massive herds of bison roaming the huge continents in Asia and U.S. and other places before the U.S. existed. And the only thing they created was 50-foot deep topsoil. They don't destroy the environment. And they want to genetically engineer cows because they're destroying the atmosphere with the methane that goes through their system, creating global warming.
So it's all nonsense, is what you're saying. There's no real science.
It's incredible malicious nonsense, yeah. And, you know, they're not wanting a healthy vegan diet for everybody's benefit. They're wanting to cut out food and replace cows with bugs and have people eat insects, which is very toxic.
Right. Very toxic. They're wanting a diet that's toxic to the general world population.
Right.
And it's not that a vegan diet is toxic, because we know that if everyone were vegan, we could feed the world seven times over. But that's a healthy vegan diet, not bug shells.
Right. And cows are not destroying the environment. In fact, from a food point of view, and I'm not a meat eater person because I don't like the idea of killing animals. But the truth is that cows are able to use land that otherwise would be not possible to cultivate.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that their attack on meat is really a thing that would add to global starvation.
That's the point, yeah. That's why they want to cut down farming. And they're saying that
organic farming.
Organic farming is the worst, right, according to them.
So basically, you're saying they're against all basic principles of feeding people, particularly when they go against organic farming. And I haven't ever figured out their logic behind that.
Yes, they're very strong supporters of GMO technology.
Yeah, so that's really what we're talking about, is a weakening the quality of food and weakening the quality of health.
Right, and so many other programs too. I mean, they're behind the whole transgender movement, for example.
Right. Okay.
And they want to destroy sovereign countries because they say the way to prevent war is to have one ruler that nobody can do anything about.
Right. Right. So therefore, one world government, one world, really a dictatorship, and creating an environmental situation that will kill a significant amount of the human population as they're being, which you haven't said, but as being replaced by AI.
Yeah, exactly.
And rulership by an elite, what we're talking about.
Not comfortable elimination of population, but maximum suffering. And I don't know about the occult or origins, like you said. Occult just means
human. Well, that's just a fact. The Lucius Strauss, Anubis, they're all dark occultists.
Yeah, I'm not questioning it. I'm just saying I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah. Well, what I gave is the basic history. So there's the seed, the dark occult seed, and then where it goes to there, and now it's an agent for world domination, and supporting pretty much many levels of darkness on the planet. And I think that's a key, particularly when you go against farmers who feed the people. It's a pretty serious thing.
Right, right, exactly. And they also are the origin of the World Health Organization.
So the World Health Organization is pushing a variety of vaccines, including the infamous COVID vaccine, which is not a vaccine, which is a bioweapon injection with over 55 toxic components. Okay, and we know, as the data comes out, more and more solid data comes out, that 40% of the people who get, who are associated with the injections, have heart disease, heart attacks, heart disease, right, as compared to the non-vaccinated people who do not, who have a normal lifespan and do not have an increase in heart disease. So the only people with an increase in heart disease, heart attacks, and so forth, are people who have received the bioweapon injection. That's significant, okay? Right. So they're pushing something that's overtly toxic, and we know it's overtly toxic. The data is overwhelming, and we're talking about national data.
Right. And it's not that other vaccines are good. They're all dangerous and harmful and not beneficial in any way. But these are worse.
Yeah, this is the most toxic one we've seen so far.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so what we're getting back is it's pushing a lot of toxic technology. It's pushing limiting food to people to starve the people. It's pushing for world domination by a central government. And it's pushing against protecting against the environment while at the same time saying it's good. It's also pushing against natural, gender identities. And so we have a lot of issues that the UN is promoting that are really anti-human in the bigger picture.
One of the big ones is the elimination of borders and the invasion of sovereign countries by millions and millions of people displaced from other places.
Right. And so that's another thing that destroys kind of the Western civilization. They're part of the downfall of Western civilization.
Yeah. And there's a lot of deception involved in trying to convince the public that it's humanitarian. And it's right, the opposite.
So in the last few minutes, we're looking at identifying a major toxic player on the world scene. Now it appears, and I don't want to put words in Trump's mouth, that he doesn't support the UN very much. And he already, when he was previously in power, didn't support the World Health Organization as well. Is that correct?
Well, he decreased the funding for the World Health Organization from the U.S., but he he gave a huge amount to Gavi, which is Bill Gates' vaccine organization.
Right.
And this is,
I'm talking about the World Health Organization right now, and he's not supporting it, and he seems not to be supporting the UN very much either.
It's beyond that. He's talking about prosecuting the UN NGOs and the main UN players for destroying sovereign countries.
Okay, so he's not supporting the UN. So what I'm saying is it's very significant that he understands, this issue of power and how this is UN has become a malevolent power.
Yeah, this is very encouraging. And this is a major attack on the global power structure, the nefarious global power structure.
Go ahead.
We should mention, you go ahead first. This is something we can say afterwards.
So what we're saying here in this presentation is, and what probably most of our listeners already agree with, that now there's more detail, that the UN, although started with good ideals, and I met some of these people with the good ideals, they really were sincere, which I want to say that, has morphed into much more of a dark, destructive, anti-human force on the planet. Although they have the cloak, it's not so invisible, of, oh, we're a good organization. So they're working for global control, one world government, and a basically anti-human, anti-environmental agenda to do maximum destruction to the planet and to the population in the bigger agenda of making a one world government with a much decreased world population. That's kind of my summary of what we just said. And they're all doing it with, aren't we so good? But I think that is falling away. And I think with Trump, you know, pointing that out more strongly, you know, sex trafficking and all the different things they're doing, that the reputation of the UN continues to decrease. And clearly it's been way off its mission since the early 1990s. So that's kind of a review of the UN from a kind of a non-globalist point of view, from a humanitarian, and I'm going to say, you know, people's point of view of preserving humanity and preserving the earth. So, and I won't go there anymore. I stopped going there in the 90s because of by that time it was already so blatantly corrupted.
Right. I think what I'm saying about that is that this is the mission that it had from the beginning. And the people that were working in it didn't know that in the beginning, and they came in with great ideals. And there's still a lot of people in it with great ideals and sincerity. But the mission from the beginning was to destroy sovereignty and bring in socialism and eventually extermination. And I think that's still the ideal. It's just coming out in the open now. And there's more people
realizing. Well, I think it's more, in addition, kind of the destruction of planetary. In it.
Exactly.
One world government, which is not socialism.
It needs to be disbanded, like NATO. And one of the things that's come out, I think it was from Dr. Rima Labo at PreventGenocide2030.org, an important action site about the UN. And she was saying that any world leader can withdraw their country from the UN by just signing a declaration that that's what they're doing and sending it in. And it just needs to be signed by the head of state, and that's the end. And I think that's very important. I agree with her.
Yeah, I've worked with Rima over the years, and she's very dedicated, very sincere, and very good.
She's been doing a lot of great work with Maria Z on Alex Jones's show.
So her insights are good. So really what we're saying is the UN isn't what it appears to be. It's an undoing, a UN doing, UN undoing, so to speak, making a pun, of really a healthy world, or an opportunity for a healthy world. It's doing just the opposite. So what's the answer to that? We need to kind of complete with it. What can we do? Well, we can support withdrawing from the UN. That's step one. But we really need to say that we have to go back to the people and build an awareness among the people and not let these captured agencies, dark force captured agencies, be controlling our lives.
Yeah, definitely right. Global awareness is the remedy.
Well, healthy global awareness. You know, World Health Organization wants to make a lot of vaccinations mandatory. That's very serious. And they came close to it twice. And there is from the World Health Organization, they're still trying. It's been defeated twice by national votes. Not U.S., but all the nations.
Yeah.
And so they're coming back another time, and we need to stand very strong against any of their tampering with our medical health.
I think it's important for any country with good intentions to withdraw from the World Health Organization right away.
Yes, which maybe I have my history off, but didn't Trump do that?
No, he decreased some of the funding. He needs to get out of it completely.
I thought he went a step further, but okay, fine. Yeah,
yeah.
He should get out.
He needs to. There's no reason to be in it at all.
Right.
Same with NATO and same with the UN. Any of these globalist organizations.
Well, let's hope that he is strong enough and powerful enough to be able to do this.
Yeah, there are very encouraging signs right now about what's being said, that there's an attack against the whole globalist infrastructure is mounting.
Yes. So it's good. So anyway, I bless Doug for being behind the scenes, making this happen. I bless you, Richard, for your insights and understanding. And I bless everyone who's listening, because we, everyone listening and us, are what can make this change happen. And may we be blessed that we're successful and transformed. Okay.
Extremely, extremely true, Gabriel. And I think people need to remember your Peace 21 meditation coming up at drcousins.com and treeoflife.mn.co. And what we're doing at Planetary Healing Club, and the individual action site about taking down the UN, preventgenocide2030.org, and all we're trying to do is get back to normal instead of blowing everything up. And I think that's well worth everybody's attention.
So what you just see is Peace 21, which is on the 21st on each equinox and solstice. And also, we have a meditation every Sunday night at 6:15 Israel time, which is about 9:15, I think, or 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. So please come. We need everyone helping here.
Yeah. Very important to remember that your consciousness affects real physical events as well as everybody else. So watch where your thoughts are going and what emotional field you're carrying around with you. It's very powerful. And it's more powerful the more focused and the more steady and the more constant that you can make it. So that's your homework for this week. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you. You're the light of the world, all of you, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Peace be with you. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Om Tachyasin. Our hope.